Letting philosophical terms on what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden, and Draven, as we get you through the last Tuesday of February. How are we today? Thumbs up from Hayden. Wow. Okay. Ooh. Starting to show off on a good note. Good to see. Cameron.
I am doing wonderful. In the words of Mr. Rogers, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's gorgeous outside. Love to see it. It's warm. I'm doing great.
Margarita Monday. National Margarita Day.
It was a good day.
Hey.
Rocked out some trivia while I drank some margaritas.
Did you have a couple marks?
Yeah. That's low end. But yeah. Yeah, played some trivia. Rocked out some trivia. Big brain time. And it was a good holiday.
Draven, you good?
I am good, John. Big speaking of trivia, big trivia game later today, friend.
Yeah.
A little nervous?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No.
You do realize this hot streak we're on in the month of February, okay? I just wanted to wanted everybody to realize that once again, you know.
This is usually when you guys fall apart, when things look good.
Is that so?
Yeah. Yep.
Learn from our mistakes.
I hope so.
Yeah.
As my little baby birds. I've been sitting here feeding you guys, spitting food out of my mouth into your mouth, teaching you, nurturing you. I hope to see growth in today's trivia contest.
Spread your wings and fly. How are you, John?
I'm good. I'm all right. No complaints over here.
Hear it.
No complaints over here. My Monday, it was nice. The weather was beautiful. Watched a little basketball. Went to the gym. Watched two movies, not very good movies. One was all right. The one not very good at all. Blew through some wrestling.
You get
tried to get to bed early. Got up to bed a little bit earlier. Still couldn't really sleep. I got to quit. I got to figure out how to sleep.
You get frustrated watching really bad movies. Isn't that just such a waste of time? Kind of predicated your whole night on those movies. And for them to end up bad, I feel like it just...
Yes and no. I watch enough movies to where it, you know, you're gonna hit some stinkers.
You are. Yeah. Especially on streaming services. There's always they're out there.
And I refuse to check out the ratings beforehand.
How can you do that though?
Are you
the one that's like, oh, you can't always believe the ratings?
I'm one of those guys, but also I'm one of those that don't want to be swayed. And some bad movies are entertaining. Some movies with bad ratings I find, rather entertaining. Some movies with great ratings, I'm like, didn't really see that. Wasn't really feeling it like that. But I watched a real stinker yesterday, and then I checked the ratings afterwards, and it was like 0% from the critics. I was like, oh, okay.
That's why you checked the ratings.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that checks out. But it was a movie I wanted to watch. It had Vince Vaughn, had a little Haley Stanfield in it. I was like, I like these guys.
What's Vince doing? Doing a 0% movie.
I don't know what they were doing.
What movie was it?
Vince?
It's on Netflix. Term Life is what it's called. If you see that one, just keep scrolling. And I had a pretty good indication from the preview, like the way Vince Vaughn's hair looked in it. It was a pretty good indication of what it was about to be like. The audience wasn't much kinder either, like 32%. But it was mostly just like all the comments. I like reading the comments on bad movies. It's mostly everyone just destroying the director and how bad the director is. Basically, like the plot wasn't awful. The actors tried, but the director just all over the place.
Oh, his hair does look rough.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It was a good indication what that movie was going to be like. But like I said, I like Vince Vaughn. I like Haley Steinfeld or whatever her name is. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And my other good app was buffering, which means like they were uploading stuff to it. So it was going real slow. So I had to go down to Netflix and scroll and scroll and scroll. And there's a couple movies I looked at. It was like 3 hours long, 2 hours, 45 minutes. Like, I'm not going to get into that.
That's how I am with Netflix every time.
Tried to watch a new like, I guess, British, like, drama series, like, Behind Her Eyes or whatever. I watched, like, 20 minutes of it, and it was kind of sexy, but I was like, I'm not in the mood for sexy right now. And all the secrets are just making me sad. So I turned it off, and then I went to the movies. And then, you know, you ever seen Between Two Ferns, Zach Galifianakis, like, mockumentary? Where he's, like, faking. Like, it was all right. The end credit, the end scenes were better than the whole movie. Like, the three-minute outtakes where he's, like, actually talking to the celebrities was my favorite part. But bad night of movies. Wrestling was kind of boring. Lakers blow a lead to the Wizards. I'm like, what are we doing here, Lakers?
Hey, Wizards. What was that, fifth straight win?
Yeah.
Look out.
Wizards maybe figuring things out. Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Yeah. Maybe figuring things out. It was really like since they started playing Mo Wagner, the big Memphis center. Since they put him in, they're undefeated. Since he's got put in the starting lineup. Like that, he's actually the key. He's out there doing all the hustle work, trying somewhat to play defense, take charge and everything, while Westbrook and Bradley Beal are going crazy. So, yeah. I mean, we had anything in college basketball, Hayden? I saw our Texas Tech lost.
Yeah, in overtime, Oklahoma State.
Are they even that good? They have
Texas Tech's overrated.
Yeah, they got eight losses,
don't
they?
Those teams last night were overrated. Oklahoma State and Texas Tech were overrated.
How's Oklahoma State overrated? They're not ranked anything, are they?
I mean, they were getting, like, five-seed talks, like, 2 weeks
ago. So are they in the tournament? Have they uplifted that
punishment? Yes, they're still in the tournament. I don't understand how that's possible, but they're still in the tournament because they haven't made a judgment on it yet.
Is it because the NCAA can't hear their appeal, so they're going to get to play?
Yes, yes, which is so stupid.
Oh, that's wild.
Because, like, you know, they're supposed to have, what, a two-year postseason ban or something like that for all the cheating?
Yeah.
But then they're like, NCAA's like, you know what? The best player in the country might be Cade Cunningham. Like, people might want to watch him in the tournament because, you know, he's going to be the number one pick, and maybe we just don't get to this appeal until after he leaves, and then, like, the next Oklahoma State teams will have to pay that punishment because, you know, it'd be nice if we get Cade Cunningham in the tournament. Which, I mean, they've won four of their last five. Their one loss was to Kansas, but Cade Cunningham was balling out in that game. He's on a nice little streak of, you know, basically 19, 26, 15, 21, 20. He's playing pretty consistently. At least the last couple games. I want to see him in the tournament, personally. Especially because their team's good enough. Like, we didn't get to see Markelle Fultz. We didn't get to see Ben Simmons. Like, Cade Cunningham's supposed to be, like, you know, on that type of level, if not better than them as prospects. So, like, maybe not better than Ben Simmons as a prospect, but better than Markelle Fultz. I want to see Cade Cunningham in the tournament as a fan. Now, if he plays Tennessee and beats us,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. What if he eliminates Tennessee then?
Well, then I'm going to say Rick Barnes, you suck.
Protest.
Rick Barnes, you suck, and Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, that's what you're supposed to be as a five-star guard. That's what I'll say. Especially if Cunningham balls out. But, like, as a fan, do you not want to see him play in the tournament? Or are you just strictly worried about the
not really
3% chance they'll play Tennessee? Although, I guess if they're both around the 4 and 5 seed, maybe there's a higher chance
it's possible.
Is he that exciting to watch? Have you guys got to watch a lot of him this year?
I've watched a lot of those games. He'll hit a few good threes at the end of the game. Like, he's been clutch this year. I'll give him that. He's clutch this year. But he's also had some games where he's just been, like, 4 or 14 in the field. We'll see that from Keon Johnson.
I was watching a little bit of that game, and he wasn't really being that aggressive. He wasn't really doing that much.
I don't think the team's that good around him, so he's, like, trying to carry them the whole time.
But, I mean, he did shoot 8 for 13 and had 20 points.
He had a good game last night. Yeah. He really did.
Well, which is it? Is the team around him bad, or is he because, like,
I mean,
he's got a pretty good record.
He's trying to carry him this year. I mean, they're
seems
not
like
they're
he's
doing
a pretty
good job. The few games I've watched where they've struggled is when they get him in foul trouble. They have to take him out.
Sure.
And then – because he is guarding the ball a lot, and once they get him in foul trouble, then they struggle.
Well, how do you guys feel? Cam, you want to see him in the tournament?
Yeah. I love seeing good players in the tournament.
Draven, you want to see him in the tournament?
Yeah, but also, as Hayden said, it's a little bit unfair, the fact that we would just throw him in the tournament just to see this one player. Like, what about the team losing to them? Like, wouldn't you be like, hey, this team shouldn't even be here?
Yeah. I'd say just that team simply should have won more games.
Yeah. Yeah, or win that one.
I'm not going to cry about the 69th team that gets left out because Oklahoma State got in. You simply should have been better at basketball.
I guess that's fair.
It's like one thing if it's like a 16-team tournament.
Yeah, I was about to say. I guess they're a lock, right? They're not like are they a bubble team? They're not a bubble team.
Said they're up in a 5-seed. I mean,
they were 5-seed 2 weeks ago.
They're 15-6, 8-6.
I mean, the Big 12 is really good, so I imagine they'd be,
They might be like, I'd say they'll come in 6 or 7.
Yeah.
That's what they'll end up with.
I was just curious because, you know, I remember whenever they got their sanctions because I was surprised that Cunningham still went to that school, you know, like, you know, as a number one prospect and, you know, been the number one, you know, NBA prospect basically since his junior year in high school for this class. I was surprised that he still went there. And I knew that they gave his brother a job. So maybe he's like, hey, I'm going to help Big Bro out. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, G League money would be pretty good. Going to a team that you can make a deep tournament run would be pretty cool. But he might get the best of both worlds. And then I guess what we got? USC last night. USC, Oregon. USC, is that the only good team in the Pac-12 now? Is USC the only good team in the Pac-12?
USC has a chance to be a 5 or 6 seed, maybe a 4 seed. But UCLA will be in the tournament, I feel like.
Right, but USC is by far the best team in the
conference. Yeah, they're the best.
Right? They're 13-3.
Oregon could get in and Colorado could get in. They could have 4 teams in.
Okay. Well.
Colorado is a bubble team, though.
Colorado's a bubble team?
Yeah.
Well, if I asked you what the sports story of the day is, what do you guys answer?
Maybe your boy, Isaiah Wilson?
What kind of laugh is that? Shut the hell up.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
We don't even know what's happening, though, because he tweeted he was out and then deleted the tweet, and the Titans were like, nah, we don't know what you're talking about.
What's the point in ever deleting a tweet? Is that ever worked out for somebody? Has there ever been somebody that got away with deleting the tweet? I really want to know. Like, in the history of Twitter, has there ever been one person get away with deleting the tweet and nobody's saying it?
Not anybody that's famous enough to pay attention
that's
to.
That's what I'm saying, because, I mean, Isaiah Wilson.
Screenshots.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Let's go to break. We'll dive into the Isaiah Wilson Titan stuff. We'll look around the NFL as we get set for some franchise tags and Deshaun Watson, an update on him. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Yeah, it looks like the final days of the one of the worst first-round draft picks you could ever have coming to an end for the Titans last night as Isaiah Wilson tweeted, then deleted, that his time as a Titan is done. No questions, please.
Worst first-round draft pick, Jake Locker or Isaiah Wilson?
Wilson. Locker at least gave you one contract.
He did, but got stayed hurt too. Never really played either.
I mean, that's fine. I'm not making the case that Jake Locker was good. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying he at least played more than 4 snaps.
Yeah. Not just on what, field goal or whatever Isaiah Wilson was doing.
Well, he had 3 kneel downs and 1 field goal where he got ran over.
Why was he even in on the kneel down?
They were just trying to give him some reps. They were trying to give him any type of game action they could. But yeah, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. Locker was a bum as well. Couldn't stay healthy. Top 10 draft pick.
Yeah.
A guy that you knew had issues with his playing style and his accuracy. I was very mad when they drafted Jake Locker. I believe I've told the story about me trying to set myself on fire. I dipped my toes in gasoline to pay off a bet. That's how mad I was. I'd made a bet that I would set myself on fire if the Titans drafted Jake Locker. And sure enough, thank you, Jeff Fisher. You jerk. But no, Isaiah Wilson's still worse. Isaiah Wilson's still worse. And it's been, to me, it's been fascinating. I don't know how much you guys have paid attention to the revisionist history of everyone rushing to talk about how the Titans made a mistake and how you knew that he had character issues and all these things from his time at Georgia. And that's just complete revisionist history because those stories weren't out before the draft last year. Which I don't know what's happened to this kid. Is it just simply being 21, having freedom, and millions of dollars? Like, could that be it? Because, I mean, if you drop a lot of 21-year-olds with their first taste of freedom and millions of dollars, you could see some bad things.
Yeah.
Especially if he doesn't have a circle, you know, somebody in his circle that's taking care of him. And keep in mind, like, he went to Georgia. I don't know where he's from. Is he from Georgia? Do we know where Isaiah Wilson's from? In terms of, like, where he hails from? Because either way, like, he's was in Georgia for the you know, the last 3 years of his life. He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
from but New York. I was just gonna say, like, you make some friends in Georgia, you bring some friends from Brooklyn. Now all of a sudden, you all got some money.
There's nothing in Athens either.
Yeah, you can live a lifestyle. You got people in your crew just looking at you as a piggy bank. I still can't get over his Twitter handle being Laissez.
That's what I was gonna say. I saw that last night. I was like, how is that your Twitter handle?
That's been that since we drafted him, Laissez.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that was it either.
L-A-Y-Z-A-Y. Laissez. Oh, so, like, I guess he was trying to warn some people.
Yeah, at least he's straightforward with it.
But, like, coming out of the draft, you had you know, people from Georgia. You had Sam Pittman talking about how hard of a worker he is, how good of a person he is. You have him after the draft talking about how, you know, like, he just loved the Titans, and with Vrabel and people on the staff, he's like, hey, I just love that culture there, the culture they have in Tennessee. I want to be a part of the culture. Quote, I'm ready to do whatever the team needs to succeed and win. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think you were, buddy. On if he expects getting a starting position as a first-round pick, I expect to do whatever coach needs me to do. In my heart, I always felt like I was a first-round pick. Whatever coach needs me to do to assure the team victory, whatever I need to do, the team comes before me. Of course, I want to compete my hardest, and whether that means I have to play a certain package for the team or learn behind a veteran, I'm going to do whatever the team needs me to do to win games.
It's about, what, 4 months later, he got in trouble with the law?
I mean, it was like 2 months later he's in trouble. He was in trouble in the summer.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, was it the DUI he had in September?
There's a DUI, but there's also, like, the COVID stuff. He got in trouble at a party at TSU where he's, like, trying to run away. But, yeah, I mean, there's a DUI. He's doing donuts in the street in Nashville. Like, he's been on the COVID list 4 times, or I don't know, it might be an exaggeration, but he's on the COVID list basically the entire year. I mean, I don't know what you do with that. Like, was he just a great liar during the draft process? Because, like, those quotes are, like, ones you want to hear. Like, hey, I'll do whatever the team needs me to do. I love your culture. I'm cool with being a backup. I'm cool with playing certain packages. I was just waiting, and I'm happy that I have the opportunity to be a Titan. I'm ready to work and be the best Titan I can be. Like, all those things, if somebody's interviewing you for a job and you lie and say all that stuff, like, can you blame the GM? Because John Robinson, Titans GM, like, the honeymoon's over, despite winning the first division title that the Titans have won in, you know, 12 years. People are fed up right now. They're upset because wasting a first-round pick, when you're a team that's getting ready to head into some tough salary cap decisions, like, that's a big misstep. A first-round pick's supposed to be at least, like, a 4-year contributor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think a starter, but at least a contributor. At least somebody, at least some depth. And the Titans needed depth on the offensive line this year. But I don't know how much I'm supposed to blame John Robinson here. Because, again, like, you had Sam Pittman, his offensive line coach, coming out and giving him high praises. And Sam Pittman, you know, seems like everyone always talks about how much of a trustworthy guy he is and how great of a person he is. It's not like he's there lying for Isaiah Wilson, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Same for, like, his running back, DeAndre Swift, talking about how hard he is as a worker and how they're so happy they both made it and blah, blah, blah. Like, all of this stuff added up. I'm just confused by it. And I'm genuinely curious, like, as to what happened. Did he just have everybody fooled? Or did the money get to him? Did the money lead to, like, drug issues and partying issues and getting swallowed up by the lifestyle?
You just never really see it like this, though. You never see it get this bad to where a first-round pick is literally not even playing. He's not even on the field. Maybe it was COVID, too. Maybe he just thought, like, maybe it won't happen. I'll just go use this money while I can. I don't know. Like,
I will say the COVID – well, I was going to say he got the COVID by being out partying, so – I was going to say the COVID maybe led him to go out and, like, I don't know, realize life is too short, or just maybe COVID brain. I don't know. But, like, he got the COVID because he's already doing that. But, like, this is a, you know, it's a setback for the Titans. Now, I will say, if I'm looking, like, in the second round, is it true that last year in the second round there was only one offensive lineman taken, a guard? Robert Hunt from Miami, like, there was no other tackles. Was that just, like, the worst tackle class ever?
Last year, yeah, I don't think I remember it being great.
Like, even in the third round, I'm not seeing any offensive tackles.
I mean, there was
I guess there's a couple, Cassie. And now at the bottom of the round, I get there. Okay. I guess Josh Jones at Arizona, I missed him. He was at the top of the third round. I don't know if he was any good or not.
And there was, what, like three or four tackles taken in the first round, right?
Right. The Titans got, I believe, the last one.
Three, four.
Like, you had Austin Jackson in Miami. Oh, yeah. I don't know if he's
so
any
Isaiah
good.
So Isaiah would have been the fifth.
Tristan tackle. Wirfs and Andrew Thomas. And Jedrick Willis. So, like, yeah, I guess Thomas was the fifth. Or Wilson was the fifth, excuse me.
Yeah.
Which, again, I don't know in terms of how he graded out as a prospect. I knew when the Titans drafted him, people were saying, hey, he's a project, right? You're going to have to work with him. You're going to have to get him ready. But you're like, that's fine. We got Taylor Lewan. We got Dennis Kelly. He doesn't have to be a starter. We can bring him along a little slowly. And the Titans did that with Isaiah Simmons, and it worked out really well. Now, or excuse me, Big Jeff Simmons. I was looking at Isaiah Simmons right here in the top eight. Big Jeff Simmons, I mean, he's coming off an ACL tear, so it's a little bit different. You just need him to get healthy. But you're like, you know what? We're not drafting this first-round pick for 1 year. We're drafting him for the future. And the Titans, you know, hit the lottery with Simmons. He's been better than advertised.
Yep.
So I don't blame him for saying, you know, we can do the same thing with Wilson. We'll bring him along slowly. He's undervalued here at 29. He's got a first round. He's got a top 10 body. And he had an undrafted work ethic. Well, how much blame do you give John Robinson, Draven?
I don't really give him that much, honestly. You can't control this. How could you control this? Like you said, all the reports coming in were good. And I'm sure they had their interviews with him. I'm sure they talked to him a lot. I mean, it's not like they didn't do their homework. It was just like, you know, they were just sold on this guy based on talent, I would say. But I don't know. That's tough.
It's been weird to watch the national media try to, like, change it, though. The national media has tried to start talking about the character concerns people had about him before the draft. I'm like, where was that at? Like, yeah. I've read about this guy a lot and never saw any of those things.
I mean, he was still a projected, like, first-round draft pick for a reason. Like, he was still supposed to go late first round.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or at least early second round.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But, like, there was no character. I got, you know, the people who read about the draft, like, there was never anybody writing anything about this, so I'm confused as to why all of a sudden people were talking about the character concerns. I mean, it's easy to play the result. Yes, he has character concerns. Yes, something was obviously going on with him. Or maybe he just got a bunch of money and completely changed. I don't know. But with John Robinson, it's not just his draft pick. It was kind of an offseason from hell for him. Like, it started out so well, he got good bargains on Tannehill and Henry.
Yep.
But, like, you know, you brought in Clowney and, injury or not, didn't live up to Titans fans' expectations. Everyone knows how big of a disaster Beasley was, giving him money.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's crazy, right? Like, two of your three big acquisitions from last year didn't last the season. Like, Isaiah Wilson never started the season. Beasley got cut, what, like week six?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, after Cincinnati beat you, I think that's when he got cut. Like, he got cut like week six, and like, those are two of your three big acquisitions. It's actually amazing that the Titans still won the division.
Yeah, but is that John Robinson's fault? Like, we going to blame him? We all looked at those signings. Like, those were pretty good. I mean, the big Beasley was sketchy, but the Clowney, we all thought that was good. Everybody was waiting on Clowney. It was literally the last team waiting.
I'm not blaming him on Clowney. That's why I said two of the three. Like, I'm talking about Wilson and Beasley. Like, I thought Clowney was still good. Now, you know, some Titans fans said, hey, you shouldn't have got rid of Jarrell Casey just to bring in Clowney. That $10 million you traded Jarrell Casey for, you could have used that. He could have done more for you than both Beasley and Clowney did. To which I would say, okay, that's probably fair. But, like, I wanted Clowney. I thought Clowney was still pretty disruptive when he played. Now, the stats aren't going to show it, like, in terms of the sack stats. Mm-hmm. But, no, you can 100% blame John Robinson for not bringing back Logan Ryan, trading Jarrell Casey, and then giving that money to Vic Beasley, like, who was, you know, had character concerns, or not motor concerns, not character concerns,
you
motor concerns.
You could ask anybody in the Falcons organization, and he had gotten lazy over the past couple years.
Right, and like, you got fooled by like him having a good last like four games the year before.
Because they knew he needed to do something to try and, you know, get paid a little bit. And
that was out there for him, because that's exactly what Cam said when the Titans signed him. Like, people knew that. But he had the same agent as John Robinson, and John Robinson signed his, did a solid for his boy, and And do you not remember how hard it was to even get Vic Beasley to show up to camp? Like,
yeah,
he didn't show up till right before the first game and didn't even play because he had to like go into like get conditioned and get ready to go.
Wasn't he ghosting him? They like didn't know where he was at for a long time.
Right. And those are two of your three big acquisitions. One guy ghosted you. You didn't know where he was at. The other guy, you knew where he was at, but he was out jumping off balconies at TSU parties and doing donuts in the street. So to me, like I said, it's kind of amazing the Titans were able to run that team back and still win the division. But it hurts when you lose a year off your window. And the Titans have made their job harder by, you know, basically punting an entire offseason. John Robinson is going to have a good offseason this year to make up for it. Like, you're going to have to pretty much nail everything you do. You
definitely can't miss on another first rounder. Mm. At least not that bad.
No, you're going to have to draft somebody that's going to show up and stay out of trouble. And you're just going to combine the issues. Like, you're going to use your first round pick. Okay, we wasted this one on, Isaiah. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to draft a defensive lineman, an edge rusher, to overcompensate for the Clowney and Beasley misses. So here we go. Let's try it. And you're going to have to hope that guy is a stud. But that was weird because then after Isaiah Wilson deletes the tweet, the Titans say, yeah, nothing new on our end.
What's going on? Do you think they're being a little too lenient with this? Like, just cut the guy.
No, I think they're trying to wait to see. I would imagine they're doing something to try to see, like, how much money they can get back from him.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I'm imagining there's something there, like, where they're trying to make sure they got their ducks in line before. Because, yeah, like, everything they've said has indicated that, like, he's not coming back. I don't know how that works, coming back after some signing bonus money for a rookie. Maybe they're waiting to just, maybe they're like, hey, let's wait one more time during this offseason and give him his third strike where he gets in trouble again. That way, you know, yeah, we can say he's just completely negligent on his contract. I don't know what it is, but he's never going to play for the Titans. I think that's pretty clear at this point.
Probably never play in the NFL.
You might have somebody give him a chance in a couple years if he gets clean, but no, like, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, there's enough big bodies every year coming out. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's easy to get lost in the shuffle. It's not like you are a 7 foot. It's not like you're Andrew Bynum.
Yeah.
Where you're just like a freak. You're 7 foot, so the Sixers tolerate you going bowling while you have a messed up knee and give you more chances. Not in the NFL. You'll just find another offensive lineman. There's plenty of them. Some updates about Deshaun Watson coming up after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easy
report about Deshaun Watson. Says that he would approve trades to three teams.
Oh, geez.
What's the OGs for, Cam?
I'm worried about who the teams are that he's okay with.
I don't think there's any surprise on the three teams. I think these are the three teams we all kind of have had circled for him.
I know, but I don't want him in Carolina.
Carolina's one of them.
Yeah, that's what the OGs is for.
And then the other two that we've talked about with him, the Jets and the Dolphins.
Hey, stick in the AFC. It's what you know, man. Yeah.
Why not Washington? Just don't think they could get enough back for him.
Nah, I don't know why not Washington. Maybe
NFC.
Maybe he doesn't like Ron Rivera. Maybe he doesn't like Washington's, you know, Dan Snyder,
yeah,
the controversy around there. Although, did you see the report yesterday that Jeff Bezos is interested in buying the Washington football team?
Really?
Yep. He has been talking to one of the financial backings of, like, Dan Snyder and stuff, who, like, has, I guess, money involved in it. And Bezos is interested in owning a sports team.
Interesting.
He already owns the Washington Post. Maybe he's trying to set up shop over there. I don't know if players would be more likely to want to play with Jeff Bezos, or probably more so than Dan Snyder. I guess I'd rather play for Bezos than Dan Snyder.
Wonder what team name he'd pick.
The Washington Prime.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Big little check on the side of their helmet.
Yeah. The Washington Prime. I mean, I would imagine, like, he would probably invest a lot of, like, he would have the most, you know, he'd be the richest owner, obviously, of any sports team, because he's, I guess now he's the second richest man in the world. I think, did Elon pass him? No, he passed Elon back, I believe.
Yeah,
he's
going back and forth.
He recently passed Elon back. So the richest man in the world is obviously going to be the richest team owner in the world. So I'd imagine he could, you know, build the best of everything. Best facility, first class organization. And again, he'd be replacing Dan Snyder, who, you know, people hate. But apparently, Bezos has been talking to, or his attorney's been talking to the Baltimore-based sports investment banking firm Moag & Company. The firm was apparently hired by the Washington football team's three minority shareholders to negotiate a deal to sell their stakes to Bezos. So remember, like, was it the FedEx guy, right? Smith, Fred Smith, wasn't he a part of the ownership group over there with the Washington team? And they were trying to get like the FedEx name off the field and everything.
Yeah, it's FedEx field, so yeah.
Be kind of funny if it was. It would be kind of funny if it was like Dan Snyder and Bezos and both of them were there. That'd be a nice little power struggle.
Jeez. Go from FedEx field to Amazon field.
That's true. Wipe out some of your biggest competition. Yeah. Big bank take little bank. Dan Snyder is claiming that one of the minority owners, real estate executive Dwight Schauer, is leading a, quote, extortion campaign to coerce him into selling his stake. This is in connection to a defamation lawsuit Snyder has filed that has reportedly false claims that he was involved with Jeffrey Epstein. So, okay, we're going to get dirty here in D.C. Wow. All right. But anyways, Jeff Bezos, apparently interested in buying a team. You would think he would just want to buy like a basketball team and get them back to Seattle is what you would think he would do.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe he's just interested in being in the NFL club, being out in Washington.
He's got enough money doing both, so.
Why not?
Well, the NFL doesn't let you own multiple teams, though, do they? Really? At least in the big three? Or is it baseball that won't let you? I know baseball won't. Right?
Okay.
Is that right?
Let you own like multiple teams in the league?
No,
or
that's not
teams,
right.
Like across different sports.
There's one league that won't let you own. If you own like their team, you can't own another team. But it wouldn't be baseball because Reinsdorf owns the White Sox and the Bulls, so it's not him. It's not that. Maybe it is just the NFL.
NFL. Yeah. Well, doesn't the Rams guy, doesn't he own one of the soccer teams?
Soccer, you might get one of the big
like
three.
European
you might
stuff,
get,
okay.
Yeah, and like, you know, Khan owns Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say there's a stipulation there, maybe, but I might be.
I'm pretty sure. Who's the Rams guy? Who owns the Rams?
Is it? I was gonna say Kroenke. Kroenke, right?
Kroenke, yeah. I'm pretty sure he owns a soccer team.
Then I was thinking that might be a media guy. Is that his name, Stan Kroenke?
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Or am I thinking of a media guy? Isn't there like a famous? That's Cronkite. Either way. It does seem weird that Deshaun Watson would not reportedly welcome a deal to the Redskins, though, / football team, RIP. Yeah.
They haven't really showed any interest in him either, have they? There's not been, like, any reports of them offering anything. I mean, you've even had, like, teams like the Raiders kind of get thrown in there.
Yeah, I mean, the only team that, like, has been reportedly, like, hey, here's what we'll offer here, we want all in, is, like, the Panthers, right? Like, I mean, the Dolphins haven't put forth anything, and neither have the Jets. Now, I think, like, the Jets would be interested, but... And the Dolphins probably should be, but like the Panthers are the only one that we have like had reports that like, hey, they are, you know, set to make a move and are clearing cap space to make a move. But obviously the thing with the Raiders is falling through. There's no interest there.
Yeah.
From Deshaun Watson, and that's why you've probably seen that like, hey, they want to go ahead and work out an extension with Derek Carr.
So Miami was still on the list. Anyway, they creep back in the picture because they kind of act like they're pretty committed to Tua.
Have
like,
they?
I mean, they had the whole, you know, talking like he's still the future, stuff like that. And they come out and say all that. And then Tua was like, yeah, I need to get better. I need to prove I'm still the guy.
Twitter writes in saying that Paul Allen owned the Blazers and the Seahawks, so maybe I'm missing. Maybe I'm just wrong.
Yeah, Kroenke owns.
He owns a lot.
He owns the Arsenal, the Rams, the Nuggets,
okay,
the Avalanche,
jeez,
the Rapids, the Mammoths. That's the lacrosse.
The
league.
Rapids, the MLS team, right? I think he wants to sell that one because they were kneeling for the anthem.
Yeah, Colorado's or the Rapids are MLS. The Avalanche are NHL, obviously. He owns the Gladiators of the Overwatch League, which is esports, and he owns the Los Angeles Gorillas of the Call of Duty League.
Man, got every hand in everything.
Is it Gorillas? Like 10 teams.
Is it Gorillas G-O-R or G-U-E?
G-U-E.
That sounds cooler for a...
What is G-U... What is that? What's the
like Guerrilla Warfare? Like,
oh, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah,
if you're
around,
a Call of Duty team, that's a
cool
name. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. That's where that tennis mishap happened for that guy a couple years ago when he was talking about Venus Williams. He says he charged a net like a gorilla. And people made the connection of...
Mm-hmm.
The racial component of calling black people gorillas. And he was like, no, I meant G-U-E. Like, she was charging, like, trying to catch them off guard, like guerrilla warfare. And everyone's like, I don't know about that one. Then he sued, and I think he might have got, like, a settlement out of that or something.
Old Stan's worth $10 billion.
He's a very rich man.
Yeah.
Let me hold some of that.
I'm trying to think of back to why I think that was just when Mark Cuban wanted to buy the Cubs. But I don't think they wouldn't let him buy it because of the Dallas. I think they just were like, hey, we don't want you a part of this, because this is when Mark Cuban was like the bad boy of the NBA and constantly in trouble. And they're just like, they wouldn't approve his buy of the Cubs. So I'm trying to think of why.
The Cubs are all the sweet, innocent team, weren't they?
They're the lovable losers.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be the bad boys, I guess. So you think Miami's like going out of their way to – make Tua feel welcome that he's a quarterback?
I mean, they had, like, little comments here and there where they kind of vouched for him, but not really. I mean, they didn't really completely do it, but I think they're committed to Tua. I think they are. You disagree?
Tua looks like he's put on some weight.
Put on some muscle?
Some muscle. Looks stronger. He's working out. He's trying not to get left. He's trying to win his... love thing back, trying to get her to settle down. Hey, baby, don't go nowhere. Look at these muscles. I'm strong now. Deshaun Watson can't squat 400 pounds. I can now. Look, my hip doesn't even hurt no more. But, I mean, if you're the Dolphins, like, you have to take this upgrade, right? Like, if you're the Dolphins, like, you make the trade. You get rid of Tua for Deshaun Watson, right? You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
I still think Tua could be really good, though.
That's fine. He could be. But it's one of those things we talked about with Trevor Lawrence last week. Could Tua be a top five quarterback? Yeah. Most people feel like Deshaun Watson already is a top five quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, I mean, if I ask you who you're more confident in being a top five quarterback, Trevor Lawrence or Tua, you still go Trevor Lawrence, right?
I would.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, like, I don't know what your projections are for Tua, but it could be anywhere from top five to, you know, a Marcus Mariota situation where he doesn't make it to the second contract and as a backup.
Absolutely.
I'd say a lot of people are leaning towards bust, too, after this first year, aren't they? I feel like a lot of people kind of sold Tua.
No, after the first year, for sure, he has been left, I don't want to say for dead, but people have thrown him away. Yeah. It is the Toy Story meme. I'm tired of playing with you. They have thrown Tua away. They have moved on to different quarterbacks.
Is that just because Burrow and Herbert were also so good? Because they were both, like, you know, they were both on kind of record-breaking
paces.
Well, it's also
because Tua was throwing the ball 20 times for 100 yards, and the offense looked much better with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And you're like, hey, at no point should you, like, look worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick if you're going to be good. If you're going to be this guy we think you are, you shouldn't be worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick. The team shouldn't obviously, like, and clearly play better when you go out. And that's just kind of what it was. Like, Tua had some moments. Like, I thought the game against Arizona, he showed some real moments. Yeah. His numbers weren't great in that game, but, like, he went in there, he led a game-winning drive, he led a game-tying drive, he was making some plays in the pocket. But outside of that, like, he didn't really have very many games where he looked at and said, okay, we can build off this. We can build off this. He was okay against, like, Cincinnati. But then you're like, okay, well, Cincinnati's terrible. We know Cincinnati's terrible. And then, yeah, by the end of the year against, you know, Vegas, 22 attempts for 94 yards. Against Buffalo, the numbers end up looking okay just because they were down by 30 points the entire game. Yeah. But you're down 30 points at halftime in a must-win game. Like, I don't blame Miami if they're looking around saying, yeah, we need to make an upgrade here. Eric says a Dolphins fan, he's making the trade 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah, I think you have to.
And if Deshaun Watson is telling me it's okay, like, we're one of those teams that have draft picks. We've got a plethora of them. We got a young quarterback we can even give you back. Here, take it to it. You guys might as well kick the tires on him. Like, I mean, compared to, like, some of the trades we've seen, like, some of the offers we've seen were, like, who was it? Was Tariq Cohen was going to get thrown in for, like, Carson Wentz or, like, some random running back. Like, hey, we'll give you Christian McCaffrey for Deshaun Watson. Like, if you're the Texans, would you rather have Christian McCaffrey or Tua in a return trade?
Tua, because quarterbacks are more important, I would say.
Well, and because, like, Christian McCaffrey, I feel like he has, like, 3 years at most left. And, like, if I'm the Texans, like, I don't think we're going to be competing within 3 years
he
for a championship.
He's taken a lot of touches in the past few years.
Right. And he's just
and
a smaller running back.
He was out all year last year.
Right. He's already hurt. Like once I feel like once you start getting injured, like, you start getting worried that you're going to continue to get injured. That's how I look at it. But, like, obviously I would – I don't think that's even really a question. Like, I would still rather have Tua than Christian McCaffrey if I'm the Texans. Yeah. If I'm the Panthers, no, probably not.
I just think Tua sucks. I just think he sucks.
You think you're done with Tua?
Yeah,
completely?
I think he sucks.
It's 1 year. Why are we doing this? Like, he played not even a whole year. He played half a season. Yeah, he had some struggles, but he's a rookie. And also, Fitzpatrick's
the
it's not like Fitzpatrick's
garbage.
Some bum. Like, Fitzpatrick has good moments, and he had some good moments. I mean, he's been on the Miami team a couple years. He's been you could tell him and, like, Devontae Parker had a little bit better of a chemistry. Like, are we just going to throw away two after half a season with a few average games? It's not like he came out and was awful like Jared Goff. It was his rookie season. He had a couple of okay average games.
The team looked like garbage when he was out there, and they came to life when Fitzpatrick came out there. And Fitzpatrick is not an NFL starter. I mean,
it wasn't like
the
entire year. Hey, I want to be fair. Like, that first game where Tua started was against the Rams, and Tua didn't look great, but the rest of the team looked awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they
did
look.
Their defense played good.
They did, and the special teams. I mean, they scored a bunch of touchdowns, but, like, the team looked to rally behind Tua at first. So, like, I won't say, like, the whole year, like, they didn't like him, but by the end, like, it did seem like the offense went into a different gear whenever Fitzpatrick came in. You know, against the Raiders, they're down 10 points, and he brings them back immediately. Like, Tua, I told you, had 22 attempts for, like, 90 yards. And then Fitzpatrick had, like, 150 yards in just the fourth quarter and led that miraculous comeback. Then he got COVID and didn't get a chance to play against Buffalo because he probably would have been the starting quarterback against Buffalo in a must-win game. And to me, that tells me enough of what the team and teammates think of Tua, at least right now. But to Draven's point, it's 1 year. It's half a year. It's a quarterback that we knew was going to be a little bit slower to be up to speed just because of the hip injury.
Yep.
But, like, to me, what I would be worried about if I'm Miami is still the hip. Like, is he still going to be able to play a whole year? Is he still going to be able to be a guy that's taking hits? Although the weight gain would give me some confidence in that.
Yep.
But to me, it'd be mentality. And, Cam, you saw it. Like, Tua likes throwing four-yard passes, man.
Yeah.
You have to let it rip in the NFL. You have to be willing to throw into tight windows. And I know he's got a couple of, like, the tight window touchdown throws. But every other time, like, in between the 20s, he has taken the checkdowns.
And I wonder if that's coaching or Tua, because, like, we all know Tua was slinging it at Bama, and I guess that's a different animal when it's NFL
and
throwing it to the great receivers at Bama.
And I think
but,
you have wide open windows at Alabama pretty much.
And I guess that
career.
Helps too, but I don't know. I think if you add a weapon, you give Tua one more year and see how it goes.
Even if it comes at the cost of Deshaun Watson. Because if you're giving it one more year, you're saying no thanks on Deshaun Watson and no thanks on drafting somebody with our number three pick. Like,
yeah.
That, to me, is the concern, because you're not going to have this opportunity again. Deshaun Watson's not going to be on the trade market next year. You're not, at least you're hoping you don't have a top three pick again next year.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think you can give him another year. It's now or never, which is kind of why I thought they went to Tua in the first place last year.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, we're going to have this top five pick. We need to see what we have with Tua. And I don't think you like the answer you got, at least through most of the year.
Yep.
There's no way he could draft another quarterback, though.
I don't think you would, especially with Deshaun Watson. Like, to me, it's Deshaun Watson or bust.
Yeah.
It's Deshaun Watson or bust. But, like, I do think that was kind of the mentality, because for a while, it looks like they might have a chance at Trevor Lawrence, or at least, like, they could take their number 3, number 18 pick and some future first and try to get Jacksonville to move down two spots with him.
But think about this, too, John. Like, how much confidence are you instilling Tua right now? Like, let's say you do say you go after Deshaun, and it doesn't work out. You don't get him. Carolina ends up getting him. Now you just, Tua's got to be feeling pretty low, man. You went all out to go get a different quarterback thinking that's the only thing you need to be a Super Bowl contender. And it's like, oh, well, it's like, okay, now here you go, Tua. Like, not a lot of confidence is going to be instilled in that guy who, like you guys said, kind of had some ups and downs last year. So that's kind of my issue. It could all be you could go for all this and it not work out, and then you're just left with your franchise quarterback.
You know, we talked about it all last year, but like that is a part of what makes it so interesting, because usually when you draft a franchise quarterback, you have some patience. The Bengals have patience with Joe Burrow. The Chargers, probably a little frustrated because they probably could have been better than they were last year, but they're having patience with Herbert. The Dolphins, you're all of a sudden won 10 games. And you're like, you know what? Like, we're not far off from a championship-level team, we don't think. Like, this defense is pretty damn good. We got some good draft picks. We got some cap space. We're in Miami. Like, now's your window. And that's what makes it scary, because usually you don't throw away quarterbacks that you draft to be the franchise guys within 1 year. You don't treat them like Isaiah Wilson. You give them years. But usually when you draft the franchise quarterback, you're not immediately thinking you're into, you know, championship level roster expectations. Mm-hmm. And championship level might be a little extreme, but like they should be a playoff team next year. And if they get Deshaun Watson, I think people will make them at least, what, the third best team in the AFC on paper? The fourth best team?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to put the Dolphins over the Chiefs, like, on paper. But, like, would it put him ahead of Buffalo? Maybe.
I feel like Miami's defense was pretty underrated last year in the grand scheme of, the league.
Yeah, no, it was. Oh, yeah. It was. But if you come out with Deshaun Watson and then you add a receiver, like, that team might be better than Buffalo on paper. I mean, maybe neck and neck, because Buffalo was pretty damn good last year, too, don't get me wrong. But, like, it'll be those three as far as I'm concerned. Like, Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins will move them on paper ahead of the Titans. It'll move them on paper ahead of the Colts, ahead of the Browns. The Ravens, I would say, as well.
If I'm Deshaun, I'd still rather go Carolina, though.
Why? Just because of, like, home?
Just the – well
– And the NFC?
Yeah, like, and the NFC is also so much more open. We literally just talked about the NFC South being kind of – I mean, you got Tampa, but New Orleans is going to be down. Atlanta's kind of a mess. And also, the NFC is so much more just open. We see a different team almost every single year. Like, the AFC – it's going to be tough to get through Kansas City. And then Buffalo's just in your own division. Yep. Like,
and then eventually maybe the Patriots come back and the Jets, if they get, you know, if they strike a good quarterback, if Zach Wilson is as good as advertised or Justin Fields or whatever. Like, yeah, that does seem tougher than going into the NFC South and, you know, playing against an aging Matt Ryan, an aging, we think, Tom Brady and Jameis Winston.
What other team in the NFC has, like, a young franchise quarterback who's just completely, like, on the rise? Like, you maybe say Dak, but he's coming off an injury. Other than that,
no one says Dak.
Well, I'm saying Dak, okay? I'm saying Dak. No, but other than that, you're going to make a case for 33-year-old Matthew Stafford? Like, nobody – Deshaun would literally be the prime quarterback, the young, up-and-coming guy.
He'd be the only one.
Yeah. Literally.
You'd have Rodgers on his way out. You'd have Stafford with a couple-year window in Los Angeles. Wilson fighting with his team, wanting to get traded.
Exactly.
Wanting to get an offensive line improvement. But, yeah, like, no, that point is taken. Also surprised he didn't have, like, San Francisco on that list.
Yeah.
I think I'd be like, hey, I'm cool with going to California playing for San Francisco. Shanahan. That's the biggest story right now in football. I mean, just what happens with Deshaun Watson? You just don't get this in the NFL often.
No.
We might not get it this year. We might not. Houston still could just say, yeah, we're good.
Wouldn't that be disappointing?
It would be, but I'd like it as a Titans fan.
Him staying in Houston?
Yeah, just them being a disaster, because he's not going to be able to elevate them. We saw it this year. Yeah. The team's a disaster. Just waste his career, which I, as a football fan, don't want to see him waste his career. I prefer him thrive in Carolina in the NFC, but – just as a football fan, it'd be nice for him to get to go to a team that would be pretty exciting. Again, Carolina. Think about your Clemson boys, Deshaun. The Dolphins, though. If I'm them, like, I feel like I'm one of those teams that I'm going all in. I'm saying, yeah, you can have what you want. You can have what you want. The Jets, maybe not as much, just because if I'm the Jets, I don't know if I feel like I have a Super Bowl contender to put around him. Or at least a playoff, like a division contender. Like, if Deshaun Watson goes to the Jets, I still feel confident that the Bills are the best team in that division.
Yeah, for sure. Why does he want to go to the Jets? Is he like New York that much?
I think it's just New York. I think it's just New York. It has to be.
I mean, how appealing is that?
Although maybe Robert Saleh, man, like that guy might be a stud.
Yeah.
The guy might be a stud. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Albany.